Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord who has triumphed gloriously, the horse and its rider the Lord has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. This is my God whom I will praise. I will exalt my father's God, who is a mighty warrior, whose name is the Lord. Pharaoh's chariots and his host, the Lord, cast into the sea, and his chosen officers are sunk in the Red Sea. The floods cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, terrible in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your steadfast love, you have led the people who you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Affirmation of faith. We believe and know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. We believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. We believe that He is the Father, and the Father is in Him. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we have life in His name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our first scripture text from the 14th chapter of Exodus, verses 19 through 31. The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, and the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text from the 14th chapter of Romans, verses 1 through 12. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. And those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. An admiral was visiting on the deck of a U.S. Navy ship. He was chatting with some of the enlisted men there and asked, "What would you do if another sailor fell overboard?" Sailor promptly replied, "I would raise the alarm and toss him a life preserver, sir." The admiral asked a second question, "What would you do if it were an officer?" The enlisted man thought for a minute and then asked, "Well, which one, sir?" You see, we choose the ones we save. We choose the ones we'll love. We choose which ones we deem worthy to get our life preservers. Paul's main thrust in this text leads us to a conclusion that the church is to have wide open doors. We must accept all comers. The apostle's rationale is, since God accepts and forgives everyone, we should too. "Don't you judge me." You hear it pretty regularly these days. People are pretty free to speak out when it comes to judgmental attitudes, especially if you're the judgee and not the judger. It wasn't much different in Paul's day. Let's face it, nobody enjoys having someone else criticize him, but it's our nature. We make judgments all the time. Pagans, those outside the church, are particularly adept at criticizing those inside the church. Hypocritical and judgmental, I believe, is the terminology. Funny, that sounds just a little judgmental, and it might even qualify as hypocritical to judge somebody else for being judgmental. Now, that would be kind of humorous if it were not for the fact that the pagan's judgment of the church pales in comparison to the judging that's flung around from within the church. Christians judge other believers. We tend to brand ourselves liberals, conservatives, moderates, open door, close communion. Gets my mind boggled sometimes to even try to figure out where I stand. When I appeared last year before the district committee on ministry, a dear fellow came up to question me and he just jumped right into the interrogation. "Preacher, what do you think about ordaining women?" It didn't take long to find out that there wasn't much compassion or open-mindedness in that brother. That kind of judging that we fling around the church walls kills moral and spiritual health in a congregation. Children and teens watch the so-called mature adults backbiting and gossiping in their rude and unkind ways, and then we wonder why they start doing some of the same things that we were. We're quick to hold people who are different than we are at arm's length. We certainly don't want their ilk in our church. But why is it just fine for church members to politic and scheme to steamroll over one another to control the way the church does this or that? It may be our human nature to judge, and we certainly cannot keep our minds from entertaining judging thoughts, but we certainly can keep our mouths from spilling those beans. It's unchristlike to sit in judgment on your brother. Paul's word is that we should welcome others. The word is literally to embrace or to draw someone near and treat him kindly. Believers all have two natures: the nature of Christ, who's transforming us back into the image of God, and a sin nature that wars against whatever Christ tries to do with us. I kind of liken them in my head to junkyard dogs that go to battle over territory, and you are the territory. Which dog wins, that sin dog or the hound of heaven, Christ nature dog, depends entirely on which one you feed. When you feed on reading scripture and sharing Christ and giving whatever you can, the Christ nature dog in you gets strong and dominates the sin dog. When you feed the sin dog with backbiting and gossip and scheming and selfishness, he grows stronger each day. The scripture tells us that we think and feed from within our own hearts. That's the kind of person we become. Which junkyard dog is your favorite? There was an elderly man who had lost his wife of nearly 70 years. He was blind and could barely walk with assistance, let alone without assistance. He was being moved to a nursing home now that there was no one there to care for him. As the nurse led the old jit down the hallway to his new room, he started smiling and saying, "Oh, I love it already." The nurse replied, "Well, you haven't even seen the room yet." He said, "I know, but it doesn't make any difference. I decided I was going to like it before we even left the house." Now, if we were able to apply that kind of attitude towards all the people we already know, and even those that we haven't even seen yet, that would be Christ-likeness. That's what Jesus did when he went on the cross to die for me and you. We weren't even born yet he was already forgiving us. Jesus has always been the forgiver. Scripture tells us that he came into the world without intending to condemn us, but that we might be saved. But someday, he will judge everyone, and everyone will respond by kneeling in front of him to give account for our deeds done in this life. And to a great degree, it's this issue of how well we have loved each other that Jesus will use to judge us on that day. You know, we will be judged by our Christ-likeness, not our correctness. You can dot all the I's and cross all the T's and still misspell words. We practice centering in our lives for several reasons, but mainly it's as Christians to place Jesus in the middle of our world. And that makes a bold statement about just who we are and who we worship. It's not about us and our correctness or our power or our intelligence or our accomplishments. It's about us coming near the throne to report for duty and to report for inspection. There is only one Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ. We've come here, we get a good look at our goal again. I give you a commandment that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That says in John 13, verses 34 through 35. Do you recall the wording of the Lady Liberty's pledge? A mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. This is the spirit of the Spirit. This is the spirit of loving your neighbor as yourself. It's the place where self takes a back seat and service takes the lead. Paul said that Jesus said every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess his lordship. I say to remind all of us that we're going to bow together, the church people, pagan, straight and gay, abortionists and pro-lifers, Democrats and Republicans. We're all going to bow together. Judging is only going to come from one direction, the center of the universe, the throne in the middle of the glassy sea, the place from which lightning and thunder emanate and demons tremble and flee to their hiding places. This week, we recall the tragedy that took place 19 years ago on September the 11th, 2001. I want to suggest to you for a moment that in the moment that those things happened, in the moment that those planes were hijacked, a bunch of brave people decided to attempt to take back that aircraft from the hijackers. At that moment, there were no gays or straights, no black or white. There was no question of who's qualified and who is second class. There was no thought of rank or privilege. That diverse group of people had one thing in mind and one thing only. That was their survival. Today, we are on another flight. And the good ship of time and God's providence is not going to stay in the air forever. God has mercifully allowed each of us to live until this day. His one command above all others is for us to love one another. The question is ever before us, will we do that or will we be like the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, shouting and grabbing and getting and keeping, buying low and selling high, always for me, 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 always me first? Is that our legacy? Or shall we get a life? How about eternal life? Do you have that? How about unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Let's pray. Gracious and almighty God, we worship you and we praise you. And we praise you for Jesus. Jesus, who came to set this world free from its afflictions, the afflictions of humanity that has taken control over this world and has made us people who don't like each other, who don't love each other, who are always against each other. Father, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to live a life that way. Father, I want to live the life that you call us to live, that Christ-likeness. We want to be like you, Father. We come and we worship and we bow before you. Today, Father, mold us, use us, encourage us, that we might too get a life and get back into living the way that we should. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.